Someone once said, I've never had a humble opinion. If you've got an opinion, why be humble about it? Sounds like a quote Andy Udman would agree with. Or maybe not. A talk show host with opinions. London Today with Andy Udman on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Health Canada has pulled the license of a Toronto area drug testing company for allegedly falsifying test results of some of their products.
To another. But what we saw here was a pattern of repeated and deliberate falsification of records, fabricating results, providing results before tests were run, those sorts of things. And that really is very concerning for us.
Health Canada says 53 finished products and other raw ingredients tested at Chem Pharmaceutical will need to be retested. Their services include testing for ingredients used in natural health products, over-the-counter medications, and prescription drugs. The RCMP has been called in to investigate.
Thalidomide. You would think that after the disaster that thalidomide was, we would be so stringent with our drug testing in this country. Thalidomide, Vioxx, Avandia, the list goes on and on. Drug horror stories. And this morning, just as we were preparing to talk to a scientist in Italy live after the 10 o'clock news this morning, and we are going to, about the tainted research that is involved in approving drugs, we have this horror story out of, I was going to say Toronto, even closer, Mississauga. Listen to this explosive story this morning, folks, on this Wednesday, the 5th of December. Merry Christmas to all our Dutch friends this morning, celebrating the traditional Dutch Christmas. Health Canada has suspended the license of a Toronto area drug testing lab and asked companies who use the lab to stop selling products they had tested there. The agency, if you can even imagine this, said it found falsified test results during an inspection of Kimi Pharmaceutical in Mississauga. Now, these are products, folks, that you use. I don't use any of these. I'm not big on cosmetics, first of all, but the long list of products that may be affected includes diabetes and heart medicines, veterinary medicines, a preservative used in cosmetics, an acid reflux treatment, and geritol vitamins. In fact, in total, there are about, well, last night they were saying 52 products. I think they've whittled that down this morning to about 23. I called Pam Colleen this morning. I said, Pam, I know you're usually in on Thursdays, but Pam and I have a new arrangement. I said, I want you in here on the days when the big story breaks, and you can say, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. Pam, you told us this was going to happen. Let's look, Pam, at the stories in the last few days from the likes of McLean's and the Globe and Mail and the CBC saying exactly what you've been warning about.
Mainstream media is actually picking up on a lot of these problems with the pharmaceutical industry. So yes, indeed, over the last couple of days, there's been a lot of news stories circulating around the questions around the health and safety of a lot of the pharmaceutical drugs out there today. Now, this is nothing new, of course. When we go back and you mention thalidomide, for example, you know, this was history. This was back in the 1960s. What has happened since then? How are we going to make this drug regulatory process safer? So now we have a member of Parliament here in Canada, Terrence Young. We interviewed him in Oakville, and his daughter sadly died after she was given a prescription drug. This was about 12 years ago, and over the last 12 years, Mr. Young has been on a crusade to find better ways to regulate pharmaceutical industry. So he's asking for a separate body, an independent body, to basically oversee a Health Canada's decision-making. Why do we have to have another body to do that? I mean, Health Canada is supposed to be doing it in the first place.
Now, I watched the president, CTV, Beverly Thompson, this morning. I want to play just a portion of the interview that she did with the president of this drug company. She says it was an accident.
Well, whoever this whistleblower is who divulged this story to, as I think you were telling me, it was directly to Health Canada, whoever this individual is should be awarded, should be acknowledged for his whistleblowing efforts.
Just so you can hear the sound of her voice, let's play a portion of Beverly Thompson. This was the lead story this morning on CTV. Just after 7 o'clock, they interview the president of this chemical company in Mississauga, falsifying test results. She says it was an accident. I just stood there in disbelief watching her. The president of Kimi Pharmaceutical, here's a portion of the interview with her this morning, trying to explain this horror story.
In a moment, we'll talk to Health Canada representative. But first, I'm joined by the president of Kim Pharmaceutical, Mariana Stavrikov. And thank you for coming in to talk about this. So obviously concerning for people to think that tests have been falsified in whatever manner. In some cases, I understand no tests were done, but results were written in. When did the company become aware of this?
I was overseas, and I got the phone call and email that Health Canada are auditing the company on November 22nd, and I immediately canceled my trip and came back to Canada.
So what was your response when they said that this was being done?
Right away, I make a call. And we hire well-known consultants from the industry. They're going to help us to strengthen our quality system, to improve the system, and to make sure that accidents like that not going to happen.
So accidents. So it's, do you think this was an accidental thing, or how can you prevent this from happening in the future?
Yes, we have our quality system in place, and that accident happened because of ex-employee of Kemi Pharmaceutical falsified results.
So the belief is that he did it deliberately, he or she or whoever this is did it deliberately?
Certainly, because he scanned the certificate of analysis on his cell phone and he provided the data to Health Canada.
And what mechanism might there have been in place to have caught him if it weren't for this audit, these people coming in, he may not have been caught. What exists within the company to make sure that doesn't happen again?
A couple levels of review. And now.
Okay, so there it is, Pam. You watched that interview this morning. You have a puzzled look on your face.
Yeah, no, I'm just curious as to who really blew the whistle here. It sounds like there was a disgruntled employee, but who mandated him to manipulate the data? There's still a lot of unanswered questions there, obviously.
I call this an absolute scandal. What do you call it?
It's a huge scandal. It's proof and more evidence that the system is broken.
Okay, so somebody right now is driving to the drugstore in London, Shoppers Drug Mart, you name it, Rexall, any of the others. What do they have to be asking themselves?
Well, they can't assume that the product that they're buying has been scrutinized to the point of proving that it's safe or effective. Clearly, this is not happening. You really have to look at the labels and say, has each and every one of these ingredients been analyzed for effects on your immune system, effects on your neurological endocrine system, whatever the case may be? Has this drug or has this product been properly tested?
Well, save those questions. We are going live to a London drugstore in just a moment, Turner's Drugstore, to ask pharmacist Jeff Robb, how do we know that your product is safe this morning? Back in just a moment. Right here on London Today on News Talk 1290, CJBK.
Health Canada has pulled the license of a Toronto area drug testing company for allegedly falsifying test results of some of their products.
To another. But what we saw here was a pattern of repeated and deliberate falsification of records, fabricating results, providing results before tests were run, those sorts of things. And that really is very concerning for us.
Health Canada says 53 finished products and other raw ingredients tested at Kem Pharmaceutical will need to be retested. Their services include testing for ingredients used in natural health products, over-the-counter medications, and prescription drugs. The RCMP has been called in to investigate.
It's pretty simple stuff, Pam, but just explain what this scandal really involves.
Well, I don't know who gave this lab their license in the first place, but clearly they're doing some sort of independent research over certain drugs or chemicals in the marketplace. And it sounds to me like somebody within the company came forward because they were not happy with how things are being run at the lab. I don't think it's just going to be one person that we can point our finger at here.
But it does call into question the safety of all of the drugs in our local drugstore, does it not?
That's right. You have to look at the potential flaws within the system itself. If you're a company in then you've got a chemical or a drug that you want approved, you pay to get it tested. If you keep getting refused, if your products keep getting rejected, you're not going to keep paying that lab to get your product approved. So inherently, the nature of the business, if you will, sets everybody up on a vulnerable plateau.
Wow. Let's go now to a London drugstore and get the perspective of pharmacist Jeff Robb at Turner's Drugstore. Good morning, Mr. Robb.
Good morning.
What's, first of all, your understanding of the story, and then we'll ask you for your reaction. How serious do you think this rather shocking story is about this drug testing lab in Mississauga?
Well, most of the products, it appears to me, are raw materials. Certainly there are a couple of manufacturers of actual product that are affected here too. Recognize that in Ontario we have 17 generic manufacturers, so the product supply issue is probably not an important one. But you know, having said that, as the last individual was commenting, I mean, you wonder how far this goes down the food chain, so to speak. But the nice thing is, Health Canada is on the ball in my opinion on this one. So, you know, they're being very cautionary, and that's a good thing. You know, again, how many products or other products are at risk here? Who knows?
Wow. I mean, just what you just said makes my jaw drop. What Health Canada is calling this is repeated and deliberate falsification of records involving the testing of ingredients used in our drugs in our drugstores. I mean, Jeff, that's got to rock your boat right on shore.
In that it's one laboratory, and there are probably, you know, many that are testing for final quality control. It does send a ripple in the water. I'm not as I don't know as shocked as you are, perhaps. There are many steps in place, and as I say, in that most of the ingredients are ingredients as opposed to final product. When they get to the next stage of manufacturing, they're also assayed there. So
let me just jump in, because you have just said something that echoes what Pam has said. Like, who's to say that any of the drugs are safe? And if Health Canada is the one, you know, who's watching the hen house, how many other weasels are there in the hen house?
Well, you have to ask about ingredients like sodium lauryl sulfate. How did that end up on the shelf? How do you get fragrances out there? They're toxic. There's 75,000, 100,000 chemicals out in the environment today. And somehow these are all going to be safe, even in combination. I don't know that they're, I mean, to test one chemical, you'd probably have to do about 100,000 tests.
So here's my question to you, and then I want to ask Jeff Robb at Turner's Drugstore the same question. You know, Health Canada was on after the president of this chemical company this morning, reassuring everybody that they're in charge, and this is you know, unacceptable. So they look like the good guy, but then you have to ask, well, aren't they the ones who are regulating this whole business?
That's right. They're the ones that should be overseeing this in the first place. That shouldn't have happened in the first place. We've seen a history, as we mentioned earlier, Andy, this has been going on for decades. Health Canada is supposed to be protecting us. Why do we have a politician, Terrence Young, coming forward and saying, no, Health Canada is not enough here. We need another independent body to oversee this type of regulatory process.
Jeff, I wonder if this story this morning, this is the fifth, Pam and I were just counting, the fifth major story in the last few days questioning the safety of our drugs. We had the McLean's, the cover story in McLean's magazine. We had this Senate hearing involving Terrence Young. We had the story in the Globe and Mail, Kelly Crowe from the CBC. I mean, this is mainstream media saying, what in the heck is going on with our drug supply and the testing involved? Jeff, your reaction.
Well, maybe it is as bad as you think. Maybe it's not. You know, is this tip of the iceberg stuff, or is this just low level stuff? It's really hard to say until it all spins out. I think that the drugs that I have in my store are safe, and until, you know, a company comes to me and tells me that they're not and pulls that off the shelf, that's when I get concerned.
But that's exactly the approach that got us into such a disastrous situation with thalidomide and Vioxx and Avandia and all the other drugs, which left a trail of horrendous catastrophe. You know, we just sold the product. We're just the drugstore. The doctors, well, the chemical company said this is a safe drug.
Well, I think that's an entirely different ballpark for those. And a lot of times things come to marketplace and they're deemed safe when they get there, but it's only after, you know, after years of exposure or years of results coming back from the community that things are you know, proved to be abnormal. So,
well, we feel for you this morning. You're in a difficult situation. Just before we let you go, what's your brief message to your customers this morning?
Well, I think everything is safe as of now, and let's see how things spin out. Don't, you know, the website of Health Canada is quite assured as to the safety of product going forward. You have to trust someone, and in this case, I have to trust Health Canada.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. Pam Colleen's jaw just fell right down on the table at that last statement. Ryan, just before we get to the 10 o'clock news, I want to play a portion of Health Canada's response to this absolute scandal out of Mississauga.
Health Canada, Paul Glover joins us now from Ottawa. And if you could tell us a little bit about how concerned Health Canada is or might still be based on what happened here.
Well, thank you very much for that question, and pleased to be with you this morning. We are obviously concerned. We want to be balanced about this. But when we suspend a license, that's a serious action. It's not something that we take lightly. We did that because test results were falsified, or in some instances, we believe no tests were performed and results were simply made up. And so our belief is that those products definitely need to be tested. Some of them are raw ingredients that will be used in the manufacture of other finished products. Some of them are finished products themselves. And the whole system is based on an integrated process where every step in the chain is meant to be safe so that the ingredients that go into finished products are pure, are of the right concentration. You take one safety step out of that process and it compromises the whole chain.
Okay, so Pam Colleen, before we get to the top of the hour here, should people's trust in the safety of our drugs, these are prescription drugs in our drugstores, where should that trust be this morning after these five major stories in a row?
History tells us we can't trust them. Here's the bottom line. I look at it this way. They're called Health Canada. Are we healthy today, Andy? No. They're not doing their jobs. They shouldn't have jobs if we're sick. Doctors shouldn't be paid when we're sick. They should only be paid when we're healthy. And the system is just, I mean, they're rewarding people for persisting this very dysfunctional system.
Okay, quick comment before the top of the hour. This president of this company on CTV this morning called it an accident. Health Canada called it a systematic, repeated lie. Oh, here it is. Repeated and deliberate falsification of records. This is a scandal. People should be going to jail.
I agree. And we're going to be talking to Dr. Tom Jefferson about the flaws that he has found within the Tamiflu story as well and the flu vaccine. So we're going to be elaborating on this subject even more. This is a very pervasive problem. It's not just happening in Canada. It's international.
The Tamiflu scandal. I mean, we have stored. How much Tamiflu has been stored up around the world? I mean, billions of dollars.
I think it's about $8 billion, yeah.
Yeah, and Roche, the chemical company involved, has made billions. And now, what's the word on Tamiflu?
Well, in Europe, researchers are calling for a boycott on all of Roche's products, and there's even people asking to file lawsuits against Roche.
Wow. 10 o'clock news coming up next. Folks, this next segment with Dr. Tom Jefferson, a British epidemiologist. We had this set up some time ago. Pam helped me set this up this morning, this conversation that we're going to have after the 10 o'clock news. I had no idea that this story was going to break from Mississauga. It just dramatically illustrates our point. Wow. Make sure to join us after the 10 o'clock news for this conversation with a researcher who says our science, when it comes to testing drugs, is totally tainted. That should scare you. It scares me. We'll be back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Offense sitter, he is not. Agree or disagree, Andy Udman gives his opinions. Opinionated Talk Radio, London Today with Andy Udman on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Now, remember Tamiflu? You might even have stockpiled some. Because at the height of the swine flu crisis 2 years ago, this flu drug was being prescribed to millions around the world, hailed as a panacea for an emerging pandemic. The drug company Roche held the rights to it and made billions from its sales as governments around the world queued up to get their hands on it. but doubts emerged about its effectiveness, and public health experts called on the company to release all of its clinical data. 3 years on, they say they're still waiting.
Tamiflu. How quickly we forget Tamiflu. That drug, Pam, how much did we spend on that?
Well,
drug?
Internationally, we spent about $8 billion.
$8 billion. Did we ever use it?
Well, I'm sure some people used it, but was the evidence ever there that ever showed that it was safe and effective? No.
So here's this drug company, Roche, made billions.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know whether the drug, number one, is effective and whether it's safe.
That's right. That's right. And so Dr. Tom Jefferson is on the line with us this morning from Italy. He's a very brave scientist who's come forward, and he's questioning Roche about the raw data. Where is it? British Medical Journal has come forward and said to Roche, where's this raw data? We need to see it to be able to determine whether or not, indeed, the drug is safe and effective.
Dr. Jefferson, welcome to London, Ontario, Canada. How are you this morning?
I'm well, but it's afternoon for me.
Yes, and I apologize because of the time difference. Good afternoon to you. How do you say that in Italian?
Buon pomeriggio.
Okay.
And buon pomeriggio a tutti a London, Ontario.
Well, we have an Italian mayor, and we have a large Italian community who we love in London, so they would say, oh, say something more in Italian. What's the weather like today in Italy?
Foul.
Okay.
Terrible.
Can you describe it in Italian?
Okay. Sta piovendo, grandina, fa freddo, soprattutto al nord.
All
qui
right.
Al centro, piove e basta.
Sounds awful. Dr. Jefferson, we so much appreciate you joining us. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to any of what we've been talking about in the last half hour, but Pam Colleen has been warning our audience about not trusting our drugs and not having the faith in the research that goes into our drugs. She's been warning about that for years, and now we've had literally five major stories in the last week and a half. And so that's the environment that you're talking to. Tell us what you are working on right now that fits into all of this.
Well, I started working on influenza in the mid-90s, and specifically on antivirals, and kept on doing what are known as Cochrane reviews. I am the author or co-author of several Cochrane reviews. What are Cochrane reviews? They are studies which sum up what is known about a specific drug or an intervention, a diagnostic, a vaccine, an antiviral, an antibiotic, any topic which is of interest to researchers. We're independent, and we don't take money from pharma. The Cochrane Collaboration, which was nurtured and born, in fact, in Ontario, is registered in UK. As a charity. We are not for profit, and we try and be as independent and unbiased as possible.
Now, initially,
the evolving story of Tamiflu goes back to 98 when we started our first review, but it was really in 2009, the year of the so-called influenza pandemic, the swine flu pandemic, which we received a comment by a reader, a Japanese reader, who said that we'd included some evidence in the latest version of our review. Reviews get updated every 2 years. And this evidence came from, was secondhand, so to speak. It came from a publication which was industry-sponsored with industry authors or industry-paid consultants. And it contained data which no one apart from industry had seen. And that's how it started. We basically have been asking for the full disclosure of all the Tamiflu data now for 3 years. We were promised some. We were given even less. And it's now turned out almost like an international battle to get to the bottom of the story. Because, as you pointed out at the beginning, most of the governments that could afford it stockpiled Tamiflu. And it was widely promoted by CDC Atlanta in the U.S. and WHO. And widely included in pandemic plans, and we still have huge stockpiles, although they're quite secretive. Governments are quite secretive about exactly how much was spent, how much was prescribed, and so on. Essentially, we do not know what the effects of the drug are, because all we have is what industry tells us.
Can you tell us what happened when you went to the scientists and asked for the raw data?
Yes, we went to the so-called authors of these publications, and they said, please ask Roche, because we don't have them. They gave us a story of moving offices several times and being promoted and so on, and they couldn't answer the questions. Now, some of them actually told the BMJ reporters that they'd actually never seen the raw data and basically put their names to a manuscript which had already been written by a ghost author and with summary tables. So the raw data had not been seen by these authors.
Doctor, let me
this
jump in. Let me
hang on.
Just
make one final point. Sorry. Almost certainly, we have seen more raw data than some of these authors.
Wow. Doctor, people are driving in their cars this morning here in London, Ontario, and they're hearing that we're interviewing a researcher in Italy, and they're saying, what does this have to do with me, and why is this a pressing thing that I should know about? Well, can you answer that question?
The Cochrane Collaboration does not have a flag, a nationality flag. We're international. There is, for instance, the Canadian Cochrane Center, and one of the co-chairs of the Cochrane Collaboration is Canadian. We don't have a flag because research and knowledge is something which is international and applies to everybody. The guy driving in the car in Ontario, the guy working a field in the shadow of the pyramids, or an office worker or a factory worker in China. Evidence is evidence. And it is something which is international, crosses all boundaries. It's got to do with the Canadian taxpayer because Canadians, the Canadian government stockpiled a great public expense, this antiviral, the same as the U.S. or indeed the Italian government or any other government from of nations which could afford them.
In other words, you're saying we spent a fortune on a drug and have no idea, number one, if it's effective and whether it's safe.
Effective. We know for certain that it shortens duration. It's pretty good evidence. It shortens duration of influenza by about 20 hours. We don't know whether that's better than, say, acetaminophen or another anti-inflammatory or antipyrexial because no direct comparisons have been made. That's all we know. But the statements originating from public health bodies like US CDC, WHO, as I mentioned, are at odds, for instance, with what FDA, the US FDA, has allowed. The FDA registered indications are not for treatment of complications, like, for instance, pneumonia or bronchitis. They don't recognize that. They say there is no evidence of that. We've been through some of the regulatory information which we obtained from Freedom of Information requests from the European regulators, and we agree with the FDA. There is no evidence of that.
Now, what has happened today in England? I understand the Prime Minister has been talking about Tamiflu in Parliament.
Yes, he has been asked a question. He was asked a question by Mr. Richard Bacon, who is a Conservative MP for South Norfolk. Mr. Bacon said 3 years ago the NHS spent £500 million on Tamiflu. That's the National Health Service in the UK. Without having seen all the data on effectiveness or safety. Given that, far from being an isolated case, it is normal for the drug industry to have almost complete control over the evidence base upon which crucial public decisions are made. Will the Prime Minister ask Roche to make available the full clinical study reports on Tamiflu so that doctors, patients, and taxpayers are not misled? That was the question.
What was
the answer? My honourable friend does excellent work, blah, 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 blah. This is typical sparring between politicians in the UK Parliament. He raises an important issue, not only, as I said, because of costs to the taxpayer, but also because of possible overstatement of benefits to patients. There does need to be more transparency in these clinical trials data. We are committed to make sure that it happens, and so the European Medicines Agency work is supported on this. And from next year, there will be a legal requirement to publish summary reports from clinical trials. That's from the Prime Minister of United Kingdom.
And that was today in the British Parliament?
Wednesday, the 5th of December.
You have a petition called the Berlin Declaration with the goal of reinstituting the integrity of scientific publishing, evidence-based medicine, and public health decision-making. How many scientists have signed on to this petition so far?
I'm not sure about that. I have done so. I'm not sure, but I hope that many more people will sign up. We wrote a letter to the Times. It's simple. I mean, the message is very simple. If you go to your doctor and this doctor prescribes, your doctor prescribes a drug, medicine, an intervention, an antiviral, a vaccine, an antibiotic, whatever, the doctor needs to know what the properties of that drug are, for real. Not through commercials or through partial publication or control is what's been released. Now, let me be quite clear. Tamiflu may be the best thing after sliced bread. But the thing is, we don't know for sure because we're not able to get the full picture.
And as you say, how can you trust something you haven't seen, right?
Well, yes. And if you come to me as a patient and you ask me, tell me, doctor, what does this drug do? You expect an honest answer, and I'll give you an honest answer, except that I think it's an honest answer, but it's a partial answer, because I don't have the full picture. And international literature does not provide the full picture.
Doctor,
That's a different and connected and very, very difficult problem.
Doctor, who is the bad guy in this story?
I don't think it's helpful to think in terms of bad guys and smoking guns and people to be lynched. I don't think that's a very good idea. It's a very, very difficult and complex problem, but there are at least four players. Researchers who up to now, like me, up to now, have been trusting literature. That's the stuff that's published on journals. Okay? And they need to understand that this the current system is no longer tenable. And the long string of scandals and long string of reappraisals and retrenchments over drugs are proof of that. So I put researchers first, simply because I'm a researcher myself, and I'm not blameless. Then, of course, there's the editors and the publications industry, most of whom have business dealings with industry, and they have particular mechanisms like that of reprints. They're dependent on industry, or partly dependent on industry for the income. Reprints, which are glorified photocopies of the articles, which then sales personnel, sales staff, can go off and use as, say, this is see here, doctor, this mega trial published on a very, very important journal. See, this says that my drug is wonderful. Then there's the politicians who really should have scrutinized what was going on a lot closer. And last but not least is the media, with all their wonderful scare stories. Do you remember bird flu?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Well, that's part of the genesis of all this. The media has been successfully infiltrated and influenced by people who had agendas, personal agendas, and had financial ties, or indirect financial ties, who needed careers, promotions, interests, and so on. So it's a very, very complex problem. And if there is a baddie, that's ourselves. That's human nature. But we need to do something about this, because we cannot simply keep on trusting published word as it is now, and especially when we know that some 60 or 70%, as in the case of Tamiflu, of the data are invisible.
Doctor, I wish we had more time. That is absolutely fascinating what you're telling us. We have to leave it there. I wonder if you could share some greetings again. And I'm Dutch, so it's not like I'm enjoying this Italian, but I know our Italian audience is. So do you have a farewell greeting for the folks of London, Ontario, from Italy in Italian?
In best Italian, I would say the message is this: trust but verify.
Trust and verify.
Doctor, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to take a short break. And then, Pam, I just want you to sift through what he just said. Some pretty explosive stuff. And it's not just a Canadian issue. It's not a London, Ontario issue. Mm-hmm. But actually, it is a London, Ontario issue. It's an issue anywhere where people are going to their local drugstore and using drugs.
That's right. It affects every single person in Canada.
We'll be back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Provocative, yes. Infuriating, sometimes. Overly dramatic, maybe. A loss for words, rarely. Opinionated, oh yes. London Today with Andy Udman on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Well, it's absolutely outrageous what we're hearing this morning about the drug industry, especially the scandal out of Mississauga, which we're going to hear so much more about. But Pam, I wonder in the 2 minutes we have left, if you could just sift through what we just heard from this researcher, Tom Jefferson, in Italy, and why it's so significant for the people of London, Ontario.
Well, first of all, we spent millions of dollars on a drug that really hasn't been proven to be safe or effective. I mean, Tamiflu. How are we going to get our money back from Roche is what I want to know. There's just too many shenanigans, too much cloak and dagger, too much secrecy going on in between the relationship between the government, the regulatory process, the pharmaceutical industry. We're paying the price for that, not just in terms of the financial cost, but in terms of the cost on our health. Some people are dying out there because the drugs can be fatal.
And especially this scandal this morning, this drug testing, drug lab scandal in Mississauga, what does that tell us?
It's just more reinforcement to say that we need to be leery that somehow or another we have to band together as consumers to solve this problem. I just don't see the problem being solved at the top levels.
Wow. If someone wants to do some more research on this, any specific direction it's interesting that you talked about the bird flu. I mean, you wrote a book on the
bird flu. I warned people about Tamiflu in my first book, The Great Bird Flu Hoax. We talked about the flawed science surrounding Tamiflu 6 years ago when that book came out. And now, of course, 6 years later, Dr. Jefferson and the Cochrane Collaboration, the British Medical Journal, are coming forward and questioning Roche. It took that long before this came to light. And even the Prime Minister of England has been brought forth a question surrounding Tamiflu. I think somebody needs to bring this question forward to Harper.
Should be interesting. And this is happening even today as we speak.
And tomorrow. I mean, he's speaking to the Ministry of Health in Vienna about Tamiflu tomorrow. So there's going to be more international news tomorrow as soon as he does his talk.
But the British Prime Minister answered these questions about this very issue in the British Parliament today. And we'll see if Harper jumps on board. Quick word about who we're having on tomorrow, because this is a three-part series. Tomorrow we have
Alan Castles. He's been on the show before. He's the author of Seeking Sickness and another book called Selling Sickness. He's a drug policy researcher from the University of Victoria, and he's going to be talking about the questionable efficacy of the flu vaccine.
Selling sickness. Mm. Wow, there's a grabber. Pam, thanks for coming in. I know it was short notice after this major story broke this morning. What a fascinating hour it's been the last hour.